I don't know about you, but I really like it when you can combine the latest scientific knowledge with the purely scatological. So this is my dream story. The opening page goes like this. Did you know there's a zoo in your poo? It needs a zookeeper, and that keeper is you. So begins a new book whose aim is to reduce the reader to childish giggling about our gut microbiome and the vital role it plays in keeping us all healthy. It's beautifully illustrated in colourful, silly detail by Rob Craw, who happens to be married to the scientist behind the writing, Professor Felice Jacka, who is a world expert in the field of nutritional psychiatry and gut health. Rob and Felice, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
So there's so many reasons why this kind of information needs to be available to not only parents and grandparents who might be reading this book, but to the child to understand it. And that's where you canvas it in such hideous page headings, like from your mouth to your bum and all aboard the poo train. Which one of you two came up with those kind of concepts as page headings?
Rob.
I know it's a bit below the skull, but you know, I just thought I'd make it approachable and
and fun
best
because,
I could.
You know, children from 2 to 80 love poo jokes. Well, I'm sure not everyone does, but most people I know find poo and fart jokes quite amusing. And you know, this is something that kids in particular really, really respond to. And it just so happens that we have so many poo jokes in our lab because we collect so many stool samples for the research that we do. So poo is often in our conversation. So it seems quite normal to us to speak about it.
So Rob, working with Felice, you've come up with illustrations of gut bacteria and various forms of excrement on pretty much every page.
Mm-hmm.
Are they life drawings, Rob?
Oh, still life. No, they've been somehow resurrected deep from my subconscious imagination, really. This is just essentially a fun pastime for me. So Felice came along and said, I've got the information and I know who the illustrator's going to be and it's going to be you.
Felice, why this book and why now?
We're now in this really shocking situation where unhealthy diets around the world now account for the leading cause of early death and illness. And in fact, overweight now kills more people than underweight. And this is really because of these very large-scale changes to our food environment because of big food. You know, this industrialized food system where we now have unhealthy ultra-processed foods that are in packages and lots of added salts and fats and sugars everywhere we go, even when we, you know, fill up our car with petrol or go to the swimming pool or everywhere. And these foods are designed to interact with the reward systems in our brain. Our brains really, really like these types of foods. And we now know that they not only cause illness and early death from things like, you know, cardiovascular heart disease, diabetes, those sorts of things, but they also influence our mental and brain health. For example, in the US, 60% of children alive today slated to be clinically obese by the time they're 35, with similar sorts of rates growing in Australia. We wanted to create something that was very accessible for people, something very easy to understand, but also concrete, you know, something that's not just vague, like don't eat junk food because one day you might have a heart attack, which doesn't tend to have that much of an impact on behavior, particularly in young people. Whereas if we make it very concrete and say, this is why, this is how the food that you put in your mouth directly affects your body and your brain, we hope that this will become a very useful way for children to be able to make better food choices for themselves, because we know they really influence their parents' buying behaviours, shopping behaviours, but also really good and easy to understand information for their parents, for their teachers, for their grandparents and everybody else.
So if this generation of children growing up in the world today, if 60% of those, as you mentioned, in the US are going to turn out to be chronically obese, what does that mean for the children they have, bearing in mind that's their health profile when they created those children?
Oh, it's such an important question. We know from a lot of research that's been done that the metabolic health of the parents, and this is not just the mums, but the dads as well, has a bearing on their child health. So just as an example that might shock some people, there's a very direct relationship between the level of overweight and obesity of fathers preconception and whether or not their children have autism spectrum disorder when they're born. We know that mum's metabolic health is very important to so many aspects of the child's physical development, but also increasingly we see this related to brain and mental health outcomes in children. So one of the studies we led looked at more than 23,000 mothers and their babies. It looked at the quality of mum's diets during pregnancy and then the children's emotional health over those first 5 years of life, and saw very clearly that mums who had more junk and processed foods in their diet, even when we took into account a whole host of other really important factors that might explain this, the children had higher levels of behaviours that we know are linked to mental health problems later on. And this has been shown in a number of studies now. And of course, the children's diets in those first few years are also very important.
In reading through the book, there's lots of really interesting information, which at a higher academic level is right on the money. I'm just wondering, Rob, some of those illustrations of our gut microbiome, I know they're out of your imagination. Are you at all worried that they may actually make children examine their own excrement in detail, looking for these monsters that you've concocted?
Oh, one can only hope, really. You know, that's just
Wouldn't parents love that sort
of behavioural change that we're trying to manifest for all children. Absolutely. You know, if that happens, I can say my job is done, you know.
Well, look, on a more serious level, Felice, as the scientist in all this, are you a little concerned at all that, particularly for younger children who may have, for all range of reasons, anxieties around pooing, that this may add to their anxiety because they're now imagining these illustrations are true to life?
Yeah, it's a good point. And I guess we would hope that parents would exercise some discretion if they know that their child is a bit anal retentive, that maybe this might not be the best book for them. But for most kids, I mean, the feedback we've got so far from the kids who've looked at the book as we've produced it and developed it, and also just from people who've seen early copies or who are aware of the concept and have seen some of the drawings, they're starting to come to us and saying, oh, you know, my three-year-old this morning ate a banana and said, Mum, the bugs in my bum are going to love this, you know. So I think it's a concept that most kids will get on board with, and it's very concrete for them. And if they take ownership of their food decisions, and we've seen this before in research that I've led, when we did the first study that linked the quality of people's diets to the size of their hippocampus, so that the better quality people's diets were, the larger was their hippocampus. And this gave rise to headlines around the world. And one of them in Vice in the US was, junk food shrinks your brain. And then we started to hear parents saying that their kids were coming home from school or at the supermarket saying, Mum, don't buy that because junk food shrinks your brain.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, Felice?
Well, it's a good thing because we really want to reduce the amount of these sorts of foods that young people are eating. So in Australia, young people have an average of 7 serves of these junk foods a day. Not a week, a day. So we,
Felice, I might get you to say that again. There's a bit of rattling going on down your end. I can hear it all coming through.
It's the cat.
What is that? Is that the cat?
Yes.
It's a menagerie.
Okay, can you
she's gone
move
now.
The cat? Yeah. Okay, good. Go for it again.
We know that less than 0.5% of Australian children are getting the recommended intake of veggies and legumes, which is so important for fibre and nutrients and things. So anything that we can do to improve things and to get kids to understand the very concrete reason why it matters what they put in their mouth, quite independent of whether they're overweight or not, which is another important thing to think about, is obviously going to be helpful. And that's the primary reason why we wrote the book.
My guests are Professor Felice Jacka, a world expert in the field of nutritional psychiatry and gut health, and her longtime partner, Rob Craw, who illustrated the book that they've put together as a family, really, called There's a Zoo in My Poo. Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Tell us about illustrating and also the reasons behind the Bristol Stool Chart.
Well, I never knew of the Bristol Stool Chart until my wife informed me about what the Bristol Stool Chart was. And as we were going to through the process of devising the book, and she mentioned this, I thought, oh, this is fantastic, because this will give me a good opportunity to use the science and marry it with some interesting images of a good bug and a bad bug.
Well, let me describe the page with the Bristol stool chart upon it, because I have it here in all its glorious colour. So we have Rob's illustrations of a bad bug from our gut microbiome on one side and a good bug on the other. And you can tell the difference. You know, one looks ill and is actually has many legs and is pushing out some rather disgusting looking gas out of the top of its head. And the other one is a very happy looking bug, and they're holding up between them a chart, which is the Bristol stool chart. And Felice, I might get you, we don't have to go through it in every gory detail, but perhaps from type 1 to type 7 of the different kinds of poo and what each means for our internal health.
Yeah, so the type 1 is what I think is very, very common in the West, which is the hard lumps like nuts that are very hard to pass. And this is a constipation type poo. And the reason this is so common in kids and adults is because we don't eat anywhere near enough dietary fiber for our gut bugs to work properly. So that's very common. So that's type 1, and right up to type 7, which is the very, very yucky diarrhea, which we're all familiar with. And ideally, your poo would be the very best. The king of the poos is the type 4, which is like a sausage and smooth and soft. But a type 3 is okay as well. That's like a sausage with cracks in the surface, and a type 5, which is soft blobs that are passed easily. So there's a lot of detail there. But, I mean, certainly in Europe, it's not uncommon to have these toilets with a little shelf in them where people would pass their stool and then have a good look at it, because it is such an insight into the health of your body. You know, looking at your stool and going, oh, hang on, that's not looking so good. And particularly if I'm a little bit constipated, how can I increase the dietary fiber in my diet? How can I get more chickpeas and lentils and beans into my diet? How can I increase the diversity of the fruits and vegetables and things that I'm eating? And how can I, you know, make sure that I'm drinking enough water so that I'm not constipated? That's a really key question that, you know, you might ask yourself if you notice that your poos are not type 3, 4 or 5.
And at the very bottom of the chart, you have that big question, am I being the best zookeeper I can be? Which is great, because the whole book is basically talking about self-management, isn't it?
That's exactly mm-hmm. right, and giving people something very concrete. So rather than something vague, as you mentioned before, you know, don't eat that, it's not good for you. Well, that doesn't mean much for either children or adults. It just doesn't cut through. If you say, well, we know that what you eat will influence the bacteria, their function and their presence in your bowels within hours, and that will in turn influence the health of your body and your brain, so including your immune system, including the way your genes behave, including your body weight and metabolism, including your brain plasticity. Knowing that very, very concrete link exists, and it exists pretty quickly, I think that that's very helpful for making something far more real and present and valent.
Rob, not only are you an illustrator, you're also a musician and used to be the lead singer in a great band back in the 80s called the Huxton Creepers. And I've asked you today to actually come up with a song that goes to the very crux of what we're talking about, a zoo in our poo. Take it away, Rob Craw.
Did you know there's a zoo in your poo? Yeah. And it needs a zookeeper, and a keeper is you. Sorry, can I go again?
I kind of love it like that.
Leave it like that.
I kind of love that. That's really funny.
Fantastic.
Rob, well done on the illustrations. Felice, congratulations on translating what is hard to listen to and hard to absorb information in a way that hopefully will change people's behaviours throughout generations. And it's been great to have you both on Life Matters. Thank you both.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.